From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms new ways should be discovered to face world changes. Commemoration of Human Rights Day encourages the elimination of violence against women. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that preparing future talents has become more concrete in recent days amid rapid world changes. At the opening of the third Fokasi Fest and Festival Kampus Merdeka Campus of Freedom Festival at Ismail Marzuki Park in Jakarta Monday, as reported by Antara, the President said that Indonesia's Global Talent Competitiveness Index recently has risen very high, something that he lauds as a real result. He emphasized that education should follow current and future needs, solve problems, and take advantage of existing opportunities. He also remarked that higher and vocational education has an important role in teaching relevant science and technology.
Karena memang pendidikan kita harus sesuai dengan kebutuhan.
Our education must follow current and future needs, solve problems, and must also take advantage of existing opportunities. The world changes very quickly. Technological disruption is also very fast. Therefore, we must have the courage to innovate, to find new ways, innovate, to develop young talents.
Dalam mengembangkan talenta-talenta muda kita.
Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology Nadiem Makarim said that higher and vocational education had the fastest impact on building great human resources. He also pointed out that students who leave higher education and vocational schools may immediately enter the workforce, and it directly impacts positively on the Indonesian economy. The festival showcasing Indonesian vocational education and the Campus Merdeka program achievement will be held until Tuesday. The United Nations, in collaboration with the French Embassy of Indonesia and the Institut Français d'Indonésie, IFI, held the Human Rights Day commemoration on Sunday. The collaboration of the three institutions was realized in an event Unite, discussion, music concert, and art performance to end violence against women in Jakarta. The event marked the final day of the global campaign of 16 days of activists against gender-based violence. Putu Ayu Saraswati, a speaker from the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, in the discussion said that the role of all parties, including the media, is very important in informing the handling of violence against women as well as education for men. It is our collective responsibility as individuals, organizations, the government, the private sector, and the media to provide appropriate information and education not only for women so that they can get help, but also for men on how to become men who are aware of equality information. Putu added that the efforts made by all parties, including UNFPA, have provided many positive things in terms of overcoming violence against women. Currently, most women dare to report what they experience both at home and outside the home to the relevant parties. Following the physical and verbal violence they experience, the Unite event was also held in collaboration with the Indonesian Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, the Indonesian National Commission on Violence Against Women, and an Indonesian social foundation, Yayasan Puli. 315 refugees of ethnic Rohingyas arrived in Indonesia's westernmost province of Aceh on Sunday. The chief of the fishermen community in Aceh, Miftah Cuk Ade, confirmed, as reported by Antara. He also said that two separate boats were carrying Rohingya refugees that reached the shores of Aceh. One of the boats landed in Blang Ulam in Aceh Besar Regency, while the other reached Blang Raya in Pidie Regency. According to Miftah Cuk, the refugees landed in Pidie and Aceh Besar around 3 a.m. and 5:20 a.m. local time, respectively. Local police estimated that approximately 180 refugees landed in Pidie Regency, while roughly 135 others come ashore in Aceh Besar Regency. The arrival marks the ninth wave of Rohingya refugees to reach Aceh since November 2023. Previously, Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Friday suspected that human trafficking was behind the recent surge in Rohingya's boat arrivals and pledged cooperation with international organizations to effectively address the complex humanitarian issues. Surabaya East Java has been selected to host the National Christmas Celebration on December 27, 2023. The Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs chose the Nginden Bethany Church in the Indonesian second-largest city as the venue of the National Christmas Celebration, where 30,000 people are expected to attend the event. As reported by Antara on Sunday, according to Mayor of Surabaya, Eri Cahyadi, the Surabaya city government and their people are ready to maintain tolerance ahead of the National Christmas Celebration. Cahyadi is optimistic that the religious celebration can run safely. He has coordinated with religious organizations in the city to promote tolerance, especially during Christmas. Earlier, a team from the Ministry of Religious Affairs checked the readiness of facilities, set the stage, and prepared the security plan. Advisor to the Minister Abdul Qadir said that his ministry is committed to ensuring that the event runs smoothly and festively while complying with applicable health protocols. Let's move on to the international news. A U.S. F-16 fighter jet crashed in South Korea on Monday while on a routine training flight, and the pilot was rescued after ejecting when the aircraft experienced an in-flight emergency, the U.S. Air Force unit stationed in the country said. As reported by Reuters, the pilot was rescued in the Yellow Sea by the South Korean Coast Guard and returned to the Kunsan Air Base. The 8th Fighter Wing said in a statement, the cause of the emergency was being investigated. The unit commander, Colonel Matthew Gaitke, said he was grateful for the pilot's recovery and that he was in good condition. The airbase located in the South Korean west coast city of Kunsan is one of the two main airbase uses by the U.S. military in the country. Presidential election in Egypt takes place from Sunday to Tuesday, with an incumbent President Abdel Fattah Sisi running for his third term. As reported by Sputnik, Sisi will face off against three candidates. Abdel Sanad Yamama of the Liberal Waft Party proposed a set of economic, educational, and legal reforms, while the head of Republican People's Party, former foreign ministry official and businessman Hazem Omar, advocates the most conservative approach and is believed to be a supporter of Sisi. Another candidate is Farid Zahran of the Egyptian Social Democratic Party, who is also considered close to Sisi as he helped to form his cabinet after the coup. Former Defense Minister and Army General Sisi became president in 2013 as a result of a coup, ousting then President Mohamed Morsi. He has served two terms and remains the most likely front runner despite economic problems and the West's dissatisfaction with the situation with human rights in the country. Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, PNG James Marape, said on Monday that the Pacific Island nation, which he sees as a buffer between Asia and the Pacific, had not held talks with China on security after signing a security agreement with neighbor Australia last week. As reported by Reuters, Marapetota Resources Investment Conference in Sydney, that Papua New Guinea had been transparent and that when he visited Beijing this year with his ministers and met China's leaders, there was no conversation on security. Papua New Guinea signed a defense agreement with the United States in May and struck a security deal with Australia last week that Marape said was focused on internal security. The country bordering Indonesia in its western part is seeking to woo foreign investment and trade to boost its economy amid an increasing jostle for influence in the region between the United States and China. In a separate speech to Lowy Institute think tank on Monday, Marape said, "The greatest challenge facing humanity other than climate change is poverty, and economic investment was more powerful than just security." Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today on Indonesia and European Union arranged guidelines on AI. In preventing abuse of new tech, the Indonesian Communication and Informatics Ministry has made an ethical guidelines for programmers who use artificial intelligence. Any AI-based programming activities must comply with ethics that regulate its use and development. This was included in the draft, which state a guidelines is required to mitigate all possible impact and loss from the AI use. Then, the draft recommends programmers to prepare a risk management strategy should an AI use disaster happen, as well as reporting and recovery mechanism from the incident. However, the draft does not mention further in details on the loss or disaster coming from the use of AI. The ethical guideline also includes privacy and humanity aspects that any utilization of AI, including AI products and marketing development, needs to support innovation without replacing humans. Just like Indonesia, the European Union has reached an agreement on what is called the Artificial Intelligence Act in a marathon discussion for 36 hours, which ended on Friday. This reflected a very big political and commercial interest behind it. Europe is now in the front line in terms of AI regulation, something that has been voiced by many renowned AI experts across the globe. A completed details on the achieved agreement was yet to be known. The European Parliament and members of the European Union also still have to add final words. But still, its framework has been defined straightforwardly so that it explains clearly how Europe wants to limit AI in the coming year, while creating a global standard. The fundamental principles of this act is that the bigger an AI-related risk is, the tighter its regulation will be. One of the hot debates was the discussion on regulating the strongest AI models, which is known as the General Purposes AI or GPAI, including the well-known chatbot or ChatGPT. In recent weeks, Germany, France, and Italy have launched many tech lobbies to suggest erasing these models from the act and to only impose autonomy regulation onto those models. According to them, too tight regulation will hold up innovation in Europe. The lobby was not fully successful. GPAI models will have to comply with the Act. It means every company behind them must, among many, be transparent about the data used to train the model. They must also follow the European Intellectual Property Act and explain when the text, image, or voice is produced by AI. If the new regulation is going to be officially passed in early 2024, this act is predictably in effect by the end of 2025 or 2026. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today in history with an event on December 11, 1946 about the establishment of UNICEF. United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, is an organization founded by the UN General Assembly on December 11, 1946. The main objective of this organization is to provide humanitarian assistance to children throughout the world. Initially, the formation of UNICEF was intended to provide assistance to children and mothers affected by the World War II. During its development in 1953, UNICEF adopted a mandate to help vulnerable children throughout the world, whatever the cause. Its name was changed to the United Nations Children Fund, although it still uses the same acronym, namely UNICEF. Let's move on to the event in 2001 when China joined the WTO. China became a member of the World Trade Organization WTO on December 11, 2001. Until the 1970s, China's economy was managed by the communist government and closed from other economies. Simultaneously with political reform, China in the early 1980s began to open up its economy and sign a number of regional trade agreements. China obtained observer status in the GATT and since 1986 began efforts to join the organization. Since joining the WTO, China has played an important role in the production of consumer goods. Through its advantages in skilled labor, infrastructure, and manufacturing systems, its exports have provided high-quality goods at affordable prices to companies and communities around the world. We end today in history with an event in 2008, a day of the death of the former Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ali Alatas. Ali Alatas passed away in Singapore on December 11, 2008, when he was 76 years old. He was an Indonesian diplomat who served as Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia in 1988 until 1999 under President Suharto and B.J. Habibie. Ali Alatas used to serve as Special Envoy of the UN Secretary General for Myanmar, Special Envoy of the President of the Republic of Indonesia for Middle East Issues, and Chair of the Presidential Advisory Council. His body was buried on December 12, 2008 at the Kalibata Heroes Cemetery, with a military ceremony led directly by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono.
Mencari penggantimu, namun tak.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Government Distributes Fund for Palm Oil Rejuvenation Program. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, reported that by 2023, the Indonesian government had distributed a total of 8.5 trillion rupiahs for the People's Palm Oil Rejuvenation Program. In the 2017-2023 period, the area of people's plantations that had been rejuvenated reached 306,000 hectares for 134,000 farmers. Minister Erlangga, at the National Palm Oil Farmers Meeting, quoted in an official statement in Jakarta Friday, explained that the program was implemented with the aim of increasing the productivity of people's oil palm plantations. He assessed the palm oil industry is Indonesia's mainstay industry, which needs to be accelerated further. In 2022, Indonesia is recorded as being able to produce 46.82 million tons of palm oil. Meanwhile, the area of smallholder oil palm plantations will reach 6.21 million hectares or 40.51% of the total area of palm oil plantation in Indonesia in 2022. More than 16 million tons of palm oil produced by smallholder farmers. Other efforts made by the government include infrastructure programs in the form of providing assistance with seeds, fertilizers, pesticide, and agricultural machinery. In terms of increasing human resources for palm oil planters, Erlangga Hartarto said that his party had providing educational and training program assistance with the number of recipients during 2023 reaching more than 7,000 people with total funds of 127 billion rupiah. Minister Erlangga also mentioned the challenges of the palm oil industry related to the European Union deforestation-free policy. He emphasized there were important matters that must be resolved immediately by the Indonesian Palm Oil Farmers Association, especially regarding land sustainability data verification and Indonesian sustainable palm oil certification. Currently, there are at least three basic things that are future challenges for the Indonesian palm oil industry. First, the European Union deforestation-free policy, which has the potential to exclude palm oil growers from the global supply chain. Second, the General Data Protection Regulation, which requires that all farmers with products targeted by the European Union deforestation-free policy submit plantation geolocation data without any legal guarantee that the data will be protected. Lastly, the policy, which will group countries into three categories, namely low risk, medium risk, and high risk. Coordinating Minister Erlangga also said that the government, together with Malaysia, had carried out a joint mission in May 2023 to express objection to the European Union deforestation-free policy. As a follow-up, a joint task force between Indonesia and Malaysia and the European Union had been formed, which aims to ensure that the implementation of the European Union deforestation-free does not harm producing countries. That was My Indonesia Today.
Thank you.
pasti rela untuk melepasmu. Walau ku tahu ku kan terluka jika lah semua berbeda. Kau bukanlah orang yang ku puja, tetapi hatiku telah memilihmu. Walau kau tak mungkin tinggalkannya, carikan aku yang kedua, buatlah diriku bahagia. Walaupun kau takkan pernah ku miliki selamanya. Cha-cha-ra, 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 yeah, cha-cha-ra. Jika dia cintaimu melebihi cintaku padamu, aku pasti rela untuk melepasmu. Walau ku tahu ku kan terluka jika lah semua berbeda. Kau bukanlah orang yang ku puja, tetapi hatiku telah memilih.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, marriage is one of the sacred events in human life. In various ethnic groups, this event is celebrated with a series of quiet, unique traditional processions. For example, when the Sasak tribe in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara hold a wedding, there is a traditional procession called Nyongkolan tradition, where the bride and groom are paraded together to the bride's house after the marriage ceremony, accompanied by the groom's family and relatives, the dare or girls and terune or young men, religious leaders, community leaders, or traditional leaders wearing traditional clothes, as well as gamelan traditional music groups or groups of tambourine players, or accompanied by belek drums among nobles. The time is determined by both sides. There are those who summarize it at one time, and there are also those who carry out arranging a week after the marriage contract process is done. Usually, this tradition is held after midday prayers. The purpose of this procession is to introduce the bridal couple to the community, especially among relatives and the community where the bride lives, because usually the entire series of wedding events are held on the groom's side. So the local residents know that the bridal couple has become a legal husband and wife. Some participants in this procession usually bring fruits and vegetables, which will be distributed to the bride's relatives and neighbors. In practice, because of the distance factor, this procession is not carried out at an actual distance. But usually the group starts walking from a distance of 1.5 and 1 kilometer from the bride's house. Upon arrival at the bride's family's residence, the bridal couple will perform sungkeman to ask for blessings from the family. The meaning of sungkeman comes from the word sungkem, which means kneeling or squatting while kissing hands. This is a sign that the family has approved their daughter being taken by her husband. There is a myth that Sasak people still believe in regarding Nyonggolan. According to belief, if the Nyonggolan tradition is not held after the marriage ceremony procession, then the bride and groom's marriage usually will not survive long, or their children will usually be born with physical disabilities. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My case, of which I'm certain, I've lived a life that's full. I travel each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, its careful steps along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall.
had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Sebelum Membeli Batik. Sebelum Membeli Batik, which means before buying batik. Stay tuned. You're going to listen to a conversation about sebelum membeli batik. Sebelum membeli batik, which means before buying batik. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Ayu, a friend of Chris from a vlog community, and they are in Laweyan Batik Village, Solo. Chris wanted to know how to make a batik before buying it. Let's listen to the conversation.
Di Kampung Batik Laweyan, Solo ini, kita bisa membeli beragam baju batik. Kita juga bisa belajar membatik.
Sebelum membeli baju batik, saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. After listening to the conversation, now I'm about to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Sebelum membeli batik. Sebelum membeli batik, which means before buying batik. I'm going to say each word 2 times, and please repeat after me. Sebelum, sebelum, which means before. Membeli, membeli, which means buy. Baju batik, which means batik shirt. Ingin tahu, which means want to know. Cara, cara, which means how to. Membuat, membuat, which means make. Sebelum membeli baju batik, saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. Sebelum membeli baju batik, saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. which means before buying a batik shirt, I want to know how to make it. Kampung, kampung, which means village. Laweyan Solo, Laweyan Solo, which means Laweyan Solo. Beragam, beragam, which means various. Belajar, belajar, which means learn. Membatik, membatik, which means making batik. In this conversation, you heard the sentence, sebelum membeli baju batik, saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. Sebelum membeli baju batik, saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. Which means, before buying a batik shirt, I want to know how to make it. In the sentence, there is the word sebelum, which means before, which connects to clauses, namely, saya membeli baju batik, dan saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. Saya membeli baju batik. Saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. Which means, I buy a batik shirt, and I want to know how to make it. In this conversation, Chris wanted to know how to make a batik shirt before he bought it. The conjunction sebelum, sebelum, which means before, is put right before the clause containing the activity that is done first. Here is another example. A clause accompanied by the conjunction sebelum, sebelum, which means before, can be put in the beginning or the end of a sentence. Let's listen to the following example about the use of sebelum, sebelum, which means before, in another sentence. Sebelum pergi ke kampung batik Laweyan, Chris menyiapkan peralatan vlognya. Sebelum pergi ke kampung batik Laweyan, Chris menyiapkan peralatan vlognya, which means before going to Laweyan Batik Village, Chris prepared his vlog equipment. Chris berfoto dengan pengrajin batik sebelum pulang. Chris berfoto dengan pengrajin batik sebelum pulang, which means Chris took picture with batik crafters before going home. For your information, Laweyan Batik Village is a tourism destination in Surakarta City. Laweyan is one of the batik industry centers. It was believed that the name Laweyan comes from the word lawe, which means a thread. Long time ago, many people in this area were known to make high quality clothes. Before ending today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, why don't we listen to the conversation one more time?
Di Kampung Batik Laweyan Solo ini, kita bisa membeli beragam baju batik. Kita juga bisa belajar membatik.
Sebelum membeli baju batik, saya ingin tahu cara membuatnya. Listener, that was Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation about sebelum membeli batik, which means before buying batik. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language.
Selalu mencintaimu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Waljina by Endah Laras. The song was composed and also popularized by Endah Laras as a tribute to the 76th anniversary of keroncong maestro Waljina. The song was released through various kinds of digital platforms on November 7, 2021 and also marked Endah Laras to work for 25 years as Indonesian artist. The song depicts the figure of Waljina, who is always charming, both through her works, which color the Keroncong music genre, her vocal character, as well as her personal character. Endah Laras actually wrote this song in 2016 as a form of devotion and respect to the Keroncong maestro, who has left a legacy of many works to the Indonesian archipelago. Well, listener, here is Endah Laras with the song Waljina. Enjoy! VOI listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.